Good morning. My name is Tammy Kyo-chan, and I'm representing Dr. Akiko Hosler and her study about the reliability of the Food Retail Outlet Survey Tool, otherwise known as FROST, otherwise known as the weather we had this past Saturday. We have nothing to disclose. In the past, we've heard that there are many studies on food store contents, and these were observational studies. They were direct observations. People would go in, take a look at what's around them or in the stores, and these studies were really used to aid in diabetes studies or other nutrition-related outcome studies. However, from what we've seen, there have been a lack of tested measurements. So there aren't many records of reliability or validity with these tools. Actually, there were about 7 out of 80, I believe. So we decided to develop a new tool called FROST. And this is actually a second version. We did this before in 2002 and 2003, but we wanted to revamp it, make it better. This time, we involved the community. See, what do they want to see? We wanted something that would require minimal training, that doesn't take a lot of time and doesn't require a lot of expertise, something that could be used in the urban environment, a tool that could also assess for tobacco control related items, and something that is extremely quick and easy to implement. This is a snapshot of what the tool looks like. The front side, I know it's very difficult to see, but the front side is the detailed part, and it talks about the different types of foods. And the back side, which is very new, is for the window displays. And we took a look at how much advertisement there was for health promotion and for alcohol or tobacco. And at the end of my talk, if you are interested in the tool itself, I actually have copies, so just come up and ask me. The way we selected the food items came from my pyramid, when it was a pyramid. And we tried to get items from each food group. We wanted something that would reflect urban food culture, because we did want this to reflect urban society. We did expect that the stores would vary by neighborhood and the types of stores that were available. We considered the policies, such as women, infant, children, WIC, and food stamp programs, and we wanted to make it easy to identify products. For example, if you go into a store, you see rice. It doesn't matter if it's Rice-A-Roni or if it's, who is it, Uncle Ben? It doesn't matter. Rice is rice is rice. Other items we included, other non-food items, were the store characteristics, such as aisle width and how many cash registers there were, if there was a refrigerator available, milk prices, because those are regulated by the state compared to other food items, and the availability of tobacco and alcohol, how much of the items were available, as well as the advertisement. This study was in Albany, New York. For people who are not familiar with the area, Albany is the capital and 2 hours north of New York City, and it's a pretty urban environment. This occurred in downtown Albany, and we limited it to 6 zip code areas, which is roughly 49 census block groups, and we had a universe of 123 food stores. What's a food store? It's any store that had any one of our food indicators. So any store that had one item of canned food or one frozen vegetable, that's a food store. We also used 8 government administrative lists, such as liquor licenses, the food inspection lists, and so on. And we also took a look by going there, ground truthing, which is also available in this other study. And ground truthing is when we went out into the community and took a look to see, oh, is this actually there? And they actually identified 4 more that weren't available on the lists. From the universe of 123 stores available in Albany, we decided to randomly select 39 stores. This is a quick distribution of the store characteristics, and you can see that the majority, 61%, were convenience stores. And it's also important to note that 83% of these stores in general were small. They only had one cash register. We assessed the reliability of this tool of Frost in three ways. One way was on the front page where you saw the detail of the food, and two ways with the window advertisements, which is the backside of the form. So put yourself, imagine two types of people. So here, think about people who are experienced. These are survey takers who have a lot of experience. They've been to 40 to 50 different stores and have done assessments there. And let's compare it to the minimally trained person, your average graduate student, who's only had about 30 minutes training with the principal investigator and practiced with 4 to 5 stores down the street from the university. Turns out there was a 57% perfect agreement. What happened was the gold standard is this one. Two experienced people going into a store and filling out this survey tool. And they would have to reconcile their problems before they would leave this store. So, did you see the rice? No, I didn't see the rice. Well, I'm going to go back and see if there's rice. Okay, there's rice. And that's the gold standard, versus a person who just goes in by themselves. And we didn't use a Cohen's Kappa because of the way the data were distributed. So we use a PABA, Prevalence and Bias Adjusted Kappa. And we found that all items were above 0.9. And we consider that excellent. However, for two items, the dark colored fresh vegetables and the aisle width were slightly lower, but they were also considered very good. So the way we concluded was that this was very reliable, the inter-rater agreement. And for the two lower PABAC items that I just mentioned, aisle width and the fresh vegetables, it just turns out that the larger size stores had less reliable results because it took longer and sometimes it's just too big and a person didn't see it. And with the fresh vegetable ones, it was really because the person who did the survey just wasn't really experienced, because it usually happened in the first 19 stores. Because sometimes fresh vegetables could be in next to the beer, and you wouldn't expect that, for example. Another way we assessed reliability was using the back side of the form, about the windows and the advertisements. And because this is a new part of the tool, no one was experienced. So we'll have two inexperienced people taking a look at this is an intermethod. We took a minimally trained person to actually take a look at the store and sketch it by hand. So they'll draw. And the other way is you'll take a digital snapshot and you'll trace it. I'll show you. So this is the first way. They just took a look at the store window and they would sketch it by hand. And we compare that to this. This is an example of a digital snapshot of the window. And then we had a transparency like this, overlay it, and we trace it. So we just compared what the square, the area was. Excellent agreement. The interclass correlation coefficient ranged between 0.94 to 0.99, which is excellent. The third way we did it was taking two minimally trained people and having them sketch it by hand and comparing that. Again, we had excellent agreement from 0.95 for alcohol advertisement to 0.99 for health promotion messages. Overall, we found that Frost is an extremely reliable tool for measuring consumer nutrition environment, that is, going inside a store and taking a look at what's inside. We can do this with minimal training. 30 minutes with a principal investigator practicing with a few stores. And as a result of the lower items with the PABIC, we did revise the training manual. And if you're interested in Frost for your study, or if you just want to take a look at it, you can find it at the National Cancer Institute website, or you can take a look at the study, or I have it with me, just come ask. Thank you. That the question was how much time lapse was there between the gold standard versus the minimal training going to the stores. Actually, that is a question that I cannot answer, but I would be happy to let you know after. Yes. Okay. The first question she asked was if they actually literally measure the aisle width, and that is no. They did not go in with a yardstick or anything. It was an eyeball. And the second question was how long it took to do the frost. And the average time was 10 minutes because, as we saw before, many of the stores were small. The question was why we focused more on the window advertisements versus what's inside the stores. This was actually just part of feasibility. We wanted to see what was most important at the time and what was most relevant to our study. Any other questions? Okay, so the question was what challenges we had when we were actually going into the store. And we actually did go in. There weren't many problems going into the store and saying, hello, I have a letter, I'm going to do a quick assessment, that's it. We didn't have a lot of problems with that, actually. I mean, it helps to be nice, too. And the other question was, again... The challenges with the stores, because there are so many different kinds, we took a look at, you know, convenience store quickie marts and things like that. They are randomly scattered. So that's why it takes a lot of, you need to practice and see, oh, the bananas are near the beer or they're near on the counter. They're not always consistent. That was a large challenge. Anything else? Thank you.